Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Let's check out prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the openings, pre-openings at 8:49 Central Time. I get the time out if I keep after it. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 8.95, down 16 on the open. July, 8.94, down 18. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 8.28. Down 23 and 3 quarters on the open. July, 8.45, down 21. September, 8.52, down 28 and a half. December, 8.75, down 23. May corn opened at 5.90, down 4 and a half on the open. July, 6.02, down 5 and 3 quarters. September, 6.11 and a half, down 4 and 3 quarters. December, 6.15, down 4. March of 2009, 6.24 and a half, down 3 and 3 quarters. May, 6.29 and 3 quarters, down 5 and 3 quarters on the open. May soybeans open at 13.68, down 6 and 3 quarters on the open. July, 13.82, down 7 and a half. August, 13.74, down 5. November, 12.69, down 8. January, 12.84, down 6 and a quarter. March of 2009, 12.83, down 16 and 3 quarters. May, 12.86, down 17 and a half on the open. May soybeans open at 352.50, down 2.50 on the open. July, 357, down 270. May soybean oil open at 60.50, down 47 on the open. July, 61.35, down 35. April live cattle open at 91.15, up 32.5 on the open. June, 92.25, up 15. April feeders open at 101.80, up 10 on the open. May, 106.15, up 7.5. May lean hogs opened at 73.50, up 52.5 on the open. June, 172.5 on the open. And May bellies open at 75.40, up 70 on the open.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Dave.
Did you have a chance to either look at the CFTC hearing yesterday on the internet or get some reports regarding what happened at that hearing?
I read one summary here, and you know, it's a tug of war from with the exchanges and the cash of grain companies basically saying that the commodity funds have the upper hand, and it's basically extremely expensive for the country elevators to work in this environment. And the one problem is that the funds basically are treated as cash customers, and they are focusing on the delivery system in which the cash settlement. All said and done, it's a very big dilemma for the industry, and we hope they can sort it through. Commodity futures industry has been extremely good to Paul Cooley, and it should be good to everyone, and we hope it can all be worked out. But definitely reforms need to take place to make it a orderly market.
Looking between the lines and trying to closely listen to what was going on, it seemed to me that a U of I proposal, which was for a cash index settlement, might be an option, much like the one that CME has for hogs and feeders. What would your thoughts be on that? How would that change things if that was implemented?
Well, this is a Paul Cooley idea, and I don't see anything wrong with that idea. My general impression is that a commodity speculator has rules on how many futures contracts he can play with, and also, you know, I think the same way with as far as a hedge fund is concerned or a commodity fund. All said and done, to me, the commodity funds have a little bigger upper hand in the marketplace than they need to have right now. And 6 months to a year ago, I didn't think it was that way, but with these tighter carryovers like in crude oil and other commodities, it's a fact that the commodity funds have a lot of power. And there is this problem with the, as you mentioned, the divergence between the delivery system and the cost of money, and the tightness of money to finance hedging is a tremendous problem in the marketplace.
All right, then let's go ahead and turn our attention to the marketplace today. Much quieter, a more subdued market than Monday and Tuesday, Paul. Traders just taking a breather here?
Well, the soybean market continues to be a leader, and the arithmetic is quite simple. The carryover on old crop beans is extremely tight. If there is a problem in shipping beans out of Argentina, that means there's more beans that have to be shipped out of the United States. Basically, the export capacity in South America is at complete capacity, and if there's any shortfall, that's a problem. And it's hard, even if the strike is settled, once those beans are shipped out of the United States, it's an explosive situation here. Also, it's been brought up, and it's a factual, that the Chinese have increased the imports of soybeans starting in September, October, November, December, January, February, March, into their country, and it's rather explosive, the demand situation that they are doing it. So it the arithmetic is there that this 160 million bushels of carryover could be smaller, and we are going to be looking at a very explosive situation, particularly since the Argentine government doesn't want to budge. The poor Argentine farmer is taking a beating here because he isn't getting the full benefit of higher world prices, and they're forcing to pay extremely high taxes to the Argentine government, and it just isn't a good playing field for the Argentine farmer. And it's also going to probably be discourage production of both corn and soybeans in years to come because of their unfair economic plays that the government's pushing on the farmer down there.
Let's take that analysis fundamentally back to the charts, and let me ask you, does it all add up to the potential for beans to go a dollar to the upside?
No, I think it's even more than that, Dave. And I think the old crop, new crop bean spreads have some tremendous potential. I think the soybean market, we know, is an extremely powerful commodity. And the cash sources tell me that beans are harder to buy each day. And the trend in the commodity market is definitely higher in the soybeans. And we know the arithmetic, when the right ingredients get going, the soybean market's an explosive commodity.
Turn your attention to the corn, please.
Well, the corn market, we're hearing this continued thing of maybe more corn acres, maybe the corn planters will go. But the basic idea that I have is that I don't see any major landslide towards more corn acres other than maybe Iowa or maybe a very fertile piece of ground in Illinois. What I'm generally finding is that the weather's not very cooperative, short-term, long-term, into the first week of May anyway. It looks awfully wet from my meteorologist's point of view. He's been very right, and he continues to say it's wet. Now, it's very costly to plant additional corn acres, and I don't see from my sources in the country and my customers an overwhelming demand to plant a lot more corn acres. Same time, there is a jawboning about seasonally there could be some weakness in corn if the weather would change. But when it's all said and done, the arithmetic is very simple, and nobody's ever talking about this, that, you know, we're basically from 86 million acres. If there's any delays as far as planting that number or any yield problems, you could see an explosive upside in corn prices. We're basically underplanting the total mix of corn and soybeans in this country, 4 to 6 million acres, and as a result of that, you could see some explosive prices as we go into the summer time frame.
I want to push that even further and ask you, if the crop gets planted in a timely fashion, let's say for it clears up in the second week of the forecast and people go gangbusters and they get caught up, even if we're on cue with the 5-year rolling average, do you think that there is strong upside potential in this corn market, maybe 630, maybe longer term, 660, 670?
I think there is. And, the worry is that can we control fuel prices going up? Can we control get enough extra acres in. And so there's a tremendous mix of scary things that can happen. And as you've mentioned, if we have runaway soybean prices, is this going to necessarily encourage more corn acres to go in the ground? My general opinion is the biggest bearish thing the corn market has looking at it is possibly wheat prices being a factor of coming down in price. It seems like the winter wheat weather is good. The spring wheat's getting planted. The world wheat weather does seem to be good. The technicals on wheat are coming down. But at the same time, it's extremely expensive to plant corn. Corn's kind of a funny item. We do have to have the right mix of weather to make the super yields of 158. We haven't seen those kind of yields in the past. We are planting a lot of new technology with new hybrids out there, but we still need to see some good weather to get those bushels up in that 160 bushel per acre yield area. It takes a lot of good things to happen, Dave.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. You're listening to WILR Urbana.